Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, welcome to the Savage Nation. I have no idea where that sound came from. I don't know if it was broadcast, but once again, I'm undermined. Play music for fun.
Sound over it.
Every man has got to have a hearty dog to be with him when he's feeling wild.
Welcome to the Savage Nation, another snafu to open the show. 1-800-449-8255. Oh, here we go again. Romney pulls ahead, blah, blah, blah. This has to go on six more months. I'll take a gas pipe. Romney pulls ahead of Obama, might be closing women voter gap. You hear this? Do they actually think that we want to do this from now through November? Obama, Romney, Romney, Obama, Romney, 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 Obama, Romney, 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 Krishna, Romney, Krishna, Krishna, Romney, Romney, Ramba. Are they crazy? Do they think the American people are that dumb? Yes. Yes. No. No policy issues, of course. Just who's pulling ahead on the sled. Turns out that Mr. Buffett rule, the buffet rule, that Obama's been pushing so hard applies to you, not him. As you well know, Mr. Buffet has done very, very well. Mr. Buffet has done very, very well with insider tips from the White House, such as the general, I believe it was the General Motors buy. Sure, visited the White House, came out, gave a speech telling us to pay more taxes. Got an insider tip, bought B of A and made about $300 million. President paid lower rate than his secretary. Didn't know that? Tell that to a nice Democrat. He paid 20% of his income in taxes. And what about water gun Joe Biden? Joe the water gun Biden paid 21 or 22%. But they want you to pay at least 30%. This is amazing. This is how do they get away with this? Obama doesn't qualify for buffet rule. President paid lower rate than secretary. This is on the Drudge Report. Kids get $48,000 tax, $48,000 tax free. First family transfers wealth, avoids taxes. Did you hear this? President Obama and his wife Michelle gave a total of $48,000 in tax free gifts to their daughters, according to tax records made public on Friday. They gave each daughter a $12,000 gift under a section of the federal tax code that exempts such donations from federal taxes. There's nothing illegal about it. Nothing whatsoever. It just doesn't look very good to do as I say, not as I do. You see, the most recent tax proposal, the so-called buffet rule, which means you choose which taxes you want to pay if you're a Democrat. The buffet rule means you choose from a buffet of tax dodges if you're a Democrat. But according to the buffet rule, it would increase taxes on 4,000 people and raise $4.7 billion in new revenue, blah, blah, blah. We'd cover about 0.4% of the projected budget deficit. So even though he's going to try and screw people who have succeeded, It will only cover about 0.4% of the projected budget deficit in 2012. So if you didn't get past college, or shall I say if you did get past college, you know what 0.4% is, don't you? That, boys and girls, that's less than 1% of the deficit. But the new rule would not hit the president himself. So it's just the beginning. The Obama's untaxed gift to their daughters will leave American taxpayers to subsidize the college education of the children of the multimillionaire Obamas. Well, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. You're supposed to tell people what to do if you're president and not do it yourself. That's the whole fun of the job. Now, how do you deal with all of these things? You go to the ball game. I think everyone's at the ball game right now. There's no one calling the show like a blank job. By the way, I heard from a high-up friend of mine who was never, I could never name my sources, who called me today saying he heard from someone who knows someone inside the White House that they're going to target Michael Savage the way they've done Rush and others in the top four tier to try and drive us out of radio. So if you don't know more about me or what's going on, keep checking michaelsavage.com. Always check michaelsavage.com for my personal messages to you. 1-800-449-8255. What else is in the news? Nothing. Any good television? I think there's a ball game in San Francisco. I was going to go watch some music tonight in the city, but I just learned that there may be a ball game. I don't want to be tied up with a ball game. You know, I really don't want to get tied up with the idiots with sweatshirts on and stupid caps. Rose in Colorado, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, I would like to know, do you really believe that your book is going to change the outcome of the upcoming election? Because I believe that we're in an era of dumbed-down education, and the people that should really read your book and know the facts about what's going on.
Oh, no, they won't. They won't read the book. They don't read books. No, the people who need to read it already have their minds brainwashed and made up. Let's say, for argument's sake, the book is number two on the New York Times best-selling list because they rigged the system to make sure that the deviant from MSNBC becomes number one in order to satisfy that constituency. So it's number two. So let's say it sells around 200,000 in hardcover. Let's hope, like at the first one did, over 200,000. That's only 200,000 people, and they're usually people who have the ability to even read a book. Now, you know that most of the people who vote for Obama can't read. You understand that. And the rest of them who can read basically either work for the government or have some kind of government contract. They're never going to read the book. Did you read the book? Did you read the book, Trickle Down Tyranny?
No, I haven't even gotten a chance to get to the store to get them. But
all right, you're getting a free copy anyway. I didn't even mean to talk about the book today. I will if you want me to. Legendary conservative spokesman Dr. Michael Savage is the host of The Savage Nation, the third most listened to radio talk show in the nation, with more than 10 million weekly listeners. He's the author of 27 books, including six New York Times bestsellers. He was awarded the coveted Freedom of Speech Award by Talkers Magazine in 2007. Dr. Savage holds master's degrees in medical botany and medical anthropology and a PhD in epidemiology and nutrition sciences from the University of California at Berkeley. He is an ardent conservationist, a dedicated family man, and animal protector. That is why I'm being targeted by the Obama administration. If I were a gangbanger here illegally with a tattoo on my neck, I would probably be invited into the White House for some kind of session on how to save America. If I was a member of some kind of illicit gang screaming for murder or lynching or beating people up with a pipe or a rubber hose, no doubt I'd be invited to one of the basketball parties at the White House. But because I come from another time where actual qualifications meant something, I'm persona non grata in the White House where water guns prevail. Did you see that picture? Could you believe that picture? As North Korea launched a rocket, Obama was seen skidding around a swimming pool with a water gun. I couldn't believe that picture. I thought I was imagining things. But the vice president himself tweeted that picture. Why would anyone tweet a picture of the president? Here, it's on my website now from Gateway Pundit. Obama plays with water gun as North Korea fires missile. Good thing that Kim Jong-il has a bum rocket there. You know, I have a question, though. No one asked in the entire world except Michael Savage, which is why I'm now public enemy number one to the administration. Why am I going to ask this question? Because you'll never find out if it's true or false. You ready for it? Okay. North Koreans shaft Obama and Hillary Clinton and say we're going to launch. They both fail. They fail in foreign policy. Biggest foreign policy failure of their administration. Disaster. Now, of course, they're spinning it that it's a disaster for North Korea, which it is, but it's a bigger disaster for Hillary Clinton and Obama. But here's the question. How do you know it blew up? How do you know we didn't use some kind of weapon to blow it up? How do you know we did not shoot it down, in other words? Has anyone asked if we have an advanced system, an ABM, a laser-guided system that blew it up in the sky and we're not saying it? Anyone want to comment on that? No. No, not at all. You haven't thought about it. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crown. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back. Hope, change, hope, change. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. That's who they're appealing to. If you pay no taxes, if you're an illegal alien, if you have a grievance against America because you're a loser, you're a born Democrat, socialist. I gave a little interview today. Let me tell you about it, why I'm in a strange mood. You're never going to believe it. Now, here's a man with the third largest talk show, one bestseller after another, blah, blah, blah. So I give an interview to a local newspaper that you find in the driveway for free. You know the kind of shopping gazettes they throw in your driveway that you never, that you drive over with your car tire? It's not even fit to be used, let's say, for a parrot cage. It's too thin. There's nothing in it but an ad for, like, supermarket grub. But they have an ad, you know, like, Chef Boyardee makes pizza if they buy an ad. So everyone gets them in their house. Every driveway where I live, hundreds of thousands of people get it every, and they read it, some of them. Some of the old libs read these things. They're so cheap that they'd rather read this for free than actually pay a quarter to read the San Francisco Chronicle. Do you understand? The old libs actually read it because it's free. They thumb through it. They thumb through the pizza ad. Then they have a little interview. So the young girl interviewed me. She's so sweet. She actually went to journalism school. One of the nicest people in the business I ever met. She should be working for NBC. Maybe they'd be more honest. So she gives an interview. I assume she's a Democrat liberal. And she comes with another 20-something young lady who was a photographer. Nice, sweet children, really. Nice young ladies. They're children compared to me, right? And I was very nice. They were shocked that I was a nice person. They wanted to know where Teddy was. I told them how Trickle-Down Tyranny is really not the kind of book that people in this county are going to read. They'd be afraid of it. Then I told them about abuse of power and how it's set on the San Francisco Bay and that there's hidden coves and islands they probably don't know about. It was a very nice interview. It went very well. The point of the story is she asked me about politics. So I knew they were liberals. They're young kids. They all are. So I said to her, let me ask you something. Without boring you to death, here's the way I see it. And I tried to explain to her in a way about Obama and his administration, the way you need to explain it to your neighbors, especially those who don't really know what's going on. I said, Obama is really not a Democrat. I said, Obama is a radical, I said, not even a member of the Democrat Party in the sense that you know it. He and his cohorts, I said, are extremists who have hijacked the Democrat Party. And I said, that's why he's so dangerous for this country. And I said, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, do you want your government spying on you? Do you want your government listening to your phone conversations? Do you want your government reading your emails? Do you want so many police running around with guns? I said, none of us do. So then I started to make headway. So then she asked me about Romney. I'll tell you about it when I return.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So again, I really want to emphasize, if you're a loyalist to the show, I have heard from very highly placed sources that the White House is going to try and take me out along with others in radio. They're going to do it in a very sneaky manner. I don't mean physically. They're going to try and destroy the radio business. Not me particularly, but you know, they know that talk radio is the last bastion of free speech and truth. So if you want to keep up with me, you go to the internet, michaelsavage.com, because they have not yet found a way to destroy the internet. Although Obama did pass a law in the middle of the water gun game, giving him the power to shut down websites too. So God knows, you know, welcome to North Korea. Soon you'll be eating potato skins. But the important thing is to have love and peace in your heart. Which is why when I went into Rite Aid today, I went for some kind of little stupid prescription, which I won't throw in the garbage anyway. Got a prescription. I have a drawer full that I never use. I throw them in the garbage. I knew a guy, 85, once. I was told he never took a prescription in his life that the doctor prescribed. He would indulge the doctor, say, fill them out, throw them in the toilet. I'm like that in a way. So, you know what I bought? You'll never believe this. I can't. My mind's drifting. I feel like in a movie. I don't want to talk about Romney and Obama right now or trickle-down tyranny. I was passing a rack in the Rite Aid on the way out, and there were toys. I saw a Volkswagen bus that said love and peace on it with a surfboard on top. I never buy a toy. I don't have any grandchildren. The dog doesn't need toys. It's a Volkswagen classical bus, 1962. It's yellow with a white top with a peace sign on it. It says love and peace with a surfboard. I thought it was so cute that I had to buy. I once had a bus like this way back when I was a young hippie. Before I became a yippie, and then I became a nippy. Right now, I can say I'm a nippy. I was once a hippie, but in talk radio, we're all nippies. Sorry. It's so fun. Maybe I'm seeing the next phase of my life is playing with toys. I tried to buy a train set that went through, blew up. They didn't ship it to the right address. What do you want to do on Friday? Leave me alone already with Obama and tyranny. You know it's all true. You know that they're all liars. Through and through. They're liars. A buffet rule. You should pay 30% minimum because everything, a little more fairness. But I'll pay 20%. He paid a lower rate than his secretary. Biden, another one, paid around 22%. Fox News says Newt is auditioning for a gig at CNN. Why not? Where do you think a man like that belongs? Newt Gingrich belongs in Al Jazeera. They're the only ones left in the world who would believe a word he says. What the heck is going on? Farrakhan tells blacks, breeding with whites is end of your race. What? Hey, that qualifies him for a visit to the White House. Farrakhan tells blacks, breeding with whites is end of your race. Well, he should join Sharpton and Jackson at the next prayer session, the next prayer breakfast. That qualifies entry. Certainly not two master's degrees, a PhD in 27 books, and a distinguished life. That makes you persona non grata in this White House. Makes you communist, would be invited immediately to an Easter celebration, while a real American should be deported. You got to think about how they think of things. You got to understand how they see things, not how you see things. How you see things doesn't matter. So it is a world upside down. It's through the looking glass with Obama as president. If you're a distinguished individual who's worked very hard all your life to create things and perform well, you are considered an American enemy. If, on the other hand, you're a slacker and a bum, hopefully even an illegal alien, you are definitely one of his. Here's a story. $205,000 to move a single shrub from the path of a San Francisco road project. I'm not making it up. Came out in the news, CNS News today, $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of the stimulus project. I frankly don't know who it is who got the money. Presidio Trust, one bush from the highway project. Memorandum of agreement regarding planning to move the manzanita tree, the Francisco manzanita. Driving along Doyle Drive, he saw the manzanita. And so he said, oh, my God. That plant needs to be protected. So there it is. We have no idea who got the money, but it cost $205,000 in Nancy Pelosi's backyard to move one shrub. Now you understand why they want shovel-ready jobs, to shovel the loot into their bank account. Now, that's what they mean by shovel-ready. What are you, stupid? What do you think shovel-ready means? It means shoveling American tax dollars into their private accounts. Shovel-ready. The plant's location was directly in the footprint of a roadway improvement project designed to upgrade the seismic and structural integrity of the south access to the Golden Gate Bridge. Sounds good, right? What you don't know is that the roads are broken coming off the Golden Gate Bridge with potholes that can break a tire, knock out a wheel. They can't fill a pothole, but they can figure out how to send $205,000 into their friend's pocket to move a manzanita. By the way, you can buy one of these cultivars for about $15.98. The bush is a Franciscan manzanita. It's a specimen of a commercially cultivated species of shrub that can be purchased from nurseries for as little as $15.98 a plant. but because this was discovered in the middle of the city, it was deemed to be the last example of the species in the wild by the genius botanist Daniel Glusselkamp of Habitat Protection and Restoration. So they took a plant worth $16, and it cost $205,000 to build a fence around it and move it. That's what we mean by shovel ready. I'm doing my fair share for the environment. Orlando, Florida. Roger, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I wanted to tell you, I bought your book Tuesday when it came out. And
Yay! Ring this man the bell. Ring him the bell. Again, nothing. All right, that was a little slow, but okay, we're getting there. Yes, you bought the book when it came out. And what happened?
Well, I bartend part-time, and when I went to work, I had set it up at the bar so, you know, people could see it. And what surprised me is that quite a few people noticed the book and commented positively on it, and quite a few of them tipped me extra because of it back there.
In Orlando, Florida, which is, I would say, politically mixed, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, how did you dare to take a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny to work and display it at your bar? Didn't your owner tell you to take it away?
They don't really pay that much attention to what we're doing back there, to tell you the truth.
I mean, if you displayed pornography, they probably would have given you a reward of some kind in the bar. If they, you know, had some kind of pornographic image, they probably would have given you a reward and a pat on the back, a gold watch perhaps. But a political book like this. Anyway, Roger, thanks for being a good sport, sending you another free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Go ahead. Everyone's a winner today. Everyone's a winner on the Savage Nation. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm so upset right now about how lax the Obama administration is about this rocket launch, if that's really what it was.
No, you shouldn't be upset. This is the proper response from the president. He should be seen with a water gun when they launch a missile in North Korea. It shows a peaceful intention. You don't want a president getting all macho on you, do you? You want a president to be seen in shorts running around a pool with a water gun. That's the image you want to project to the world, because that shows that it's a peace-loving administration.
I'm just so upset about it. I really am.
No, the age of the machismo is over. The age of the macho president. What? Teddy Roosevelt talk softly and carry a big water gun? Those days are over.
You're the best.
No. Teddy Roosevelt was known for a motto. I think it was talk softly and carry a big stick. Obama will likely be remembered now as talk softly and carry a big water gun. No, you have to learn to laugh. Otherwise, you can go insane altogether. You have to look at these people and see what they're actually doing. I didn't make this picture up. The distinguished vice president tweeted the picture of President Obama running around a swimming pool with a water gun as North Korea fired a missile. And the president is wearing an appropriate outfit, flip-flops, shorts, an undershirt, and a baseball hat. Now, that's the image you want for a world leader, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
No, it isn't. You see, it's just two different worlds that we live in. The president sees the world as the average American does. He has his baseball hat on. He got the undershirt. He got the shorts. He got the flip-flops. He got the water gun. This is what the average American wants. They want a nice, easy Joe in the White House. What's a rocket launch mean anyway? It blew up, so what's the difference? It was probably filled with bottles of kimchi as an experiment.
You know, I read somewhere online today, they were talking about the rocket, and they said, what do you expect, Legos crumble after a certain speed?
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is this, he means, look, the new leader of China, of North Korea, as you well know, is a peace-loving young man. He has a face that indicates intelligence, love, peace, harmony. And so, therefore, he wanted to say hello to the world on the birthday of his grandfather by launching a rocket. And the payload was really not a spy satellite. I heard it was a payload of kimchi for individuals across the Pacific Basin. Unfortunately, it blew up. So, that's why the president was running around the swimming pool with a water gun, because he knew it was all peacefully intended. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny since you feel better now, you know, since I made you laugh. Laughter is good. It's very good. Now let's play clip 11, where the president discusses him and Michelle struggling as working parents.
Once Michelle and I had our girls, she gave it her all to balance raising a family and pursuing a career. And we didn't have the luxury for her not to work. And like many of you, we both wished that there were a machine that could let us be in two places at once.
Mm-hmm. Like many of you, she has Air Force Two, I have Air Force One. Security is an Air Force Three, the mother-in-law is an Air Force Four. We're just like you folks out there, just plain people. Just folks. $100,000 an hour to fly Air Force One to a fundraiser and then cover it up with a little official business like moving a shrub. Fly into San Francisco and move a shrub and then say it was business and then go raise money from Silicon. You've got to hear this. Here's a reporter confronting Obama. I don't know how. Look, this reporter, Larry Connor, I suggest he's not going to be invited to the White House briefing next. Listen to clip 10.
The economy is a big issue and concern for folks. I mean, the unemployment, trying to make ends meet, gas prices, food prices. Some of our viewers are complaining that they just don't, you know, they get frustrated, even angered, when they see the first family jetting around, different vacations and so forth. Sometimes maybe they think under color of state business and that you're out of touch, that you don't really know what they're experiencing right now.
Well, I don't know how many viewers you're talking about that say that.
We do hear from some.
Well,
yes,
I hear from all kinds of viewers about everything.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I think if you look at my track record, I'm raising a family here. When we travel, we got to travel through Secret Service and Air Force One. That's not my choice.
That's right. It's
I think
a burden.
Most folks understand how hard I work and how hard this administration is working on behalf of the American people.
Oh yeah. You got your nose to the grindstone, and the First Lady needs as many vacations as she can possibly squeeze in through her busy schedule because she works hard too. So Las Vegas, Hawaii, Mexico, as many as possible, because they're working as hard as the American people do. It's not his choice. I mean, it's a burden to have Secret Service and Air Force One. It would be much better to go through TSA and have them frisk you and fly coach on an American airline. You know what I'm saying? That's really quite an experience. Cut the blood flow in your legs. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's the thing that everyone really looks forward to. We wouldn't want Secret Service and Air Force One. We all look forward to flying coach on an American carrier. There's nothing like it. The food? I mean, how could you compare food on Air Force One to the United Airlines? Why would you want to eat on your own Air Force One? That's a burden. That's why folks understand how hard it is that he works. Eating all that food, it's not good for you. It's unhealthy. What you want is a nice prepared meal on United Airlines, something. You know, you can get a halal, kosher meal, whatever you want. Special meals are, do they still give them out, special box lunches? Secret Service is a burden. You'd rather be alone. I mean, who would want Secret Service to make sure you're not hurt if you could get away? If you could, I mean, just travel with nothing. Anyway, it's all, you know, it's Alice in Wonderland. The whole thing is Alice in Wonderland. 1-800-449-8255. I got a neck ache. Sacramento, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, will you ever do a book about your childhood? I love all those stories.
No, it's interesting you should ask. I shouldn't talk about it, but given the projections of what's liable to come down, I should notify you to keep in touch with me on michaelsavage.com because next December, my publisher is launching my book called Train Tracks, which are all my childhood stories, mainly ones you've never heard before.
The one when you talk about the 9-foot-tall policeman, of course, you exaggerate a little bit, and go along at night, and they tap on the doors, make everything's okay.
Not nine. We had policemen who were over 4'9", and they could speak English. Today in New York City, you have to be under 5-foot-tall and not speak English, and not be a man in order to qualify for the new hiring policies. Just as in San Francisco, about 10 years ago, they started hiring only people who couldn't speak English very well, if at all. In fact, there was a deficit if you were a big man over 6-foot-tall and white. You were definitely immediately excluded. They had ads. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. They asked for Chinese-speaking women not under 5-foot-tall, but that's what they got. So now when there's a fire, the women take hydration breaks, and the few men who are left have to carry the hose up the steps.
Stories when you give your little scraps of food to the dog under the table, and people are looking at your funny.
Oh, you got to take a look at who the fire chiefs are in San Francisco. The hat alone could break their vertebrae. It's astounding. I feel like the whole world is like Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. Just the heavy fire hat on some of these new hirees. They're captains there. The fire chief, the captain. Take a look at him. As soon as a fire breaks out, they're in the back taking water and having a fainting spell and firing themselves for hydration break. That's the world you live in. Thank God there are no fires anymore. I don't know what we need all the fire departments for. That's another thing. What are they doing there all day long? They don't need bacon and eggs anymore. Those days are over. They work out now on a machine at my expense. What do they do in a firehouse? Well, let's not go there, okay? In San Francisco, there's a potential for any kind of answer you could imagine. Sacramento, Louis, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, the North Korean launch, with China as the head of that region, someday it'll be perfected. And Koreans can say then that they do have a bluff with it.
Of course. Then the Longdong missile will be used to deliver supplies of kimchi to all of the expatriate Koreans who can't get the real stuff.
Right. And also,
see, that's the beauty of it. At least somebody can still laugh. No doubt I've offended somebody with that. And there'll be complaints made to various and sundry authorities. It'll be in the White House tomorrow. Michael Savage owes the North Korean dictator an apology for saying he was trying to launch kimchi in space. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, what would you rather, have an atomic weapon launched? I mean, I'm not allowed to use Swifty and humor anymore. You understand that? I got hives already thinking about it. 1-800. Okay, I said already the number, the website, Michael. Trickle Down Tyranny. You want me to read from the book? You want me to tell you funny stories? Teddy's not with me. I don't feel focused. He's in a dog care park. Teddy is with Irina, and she had to gas her dog last night. Heartbreaking. Let me have a moment of silence. Irina, I know you're listening. You know me. I'm comedic in the political arena, and I have a very dark sense of humor. She had a dog like 14, Chester, who I love. She's going to cry now. She's not here. So she came in looking awful this morning. I know her dog was sick. So when she came to get Teddy, I said, who's Teddy playing with today? So she said, well, Justin. I forget the other dog's name. I said, where's Chester? She said, no more. I said, what? She said, I had to put him down last night. I said, oh, my God. He's been sick for a while, bleeding out of the mouth. Oh, awful. And, you know, why? The way of all flesh. There's nothing more you can say about it. It's like there, but for the grace of God, go with our dog, or there go with I. You know what I'm saying? That's why, as I say, enjoy yourself, for tomorrow may never come. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. Have you seen the pictures on that website? Can you believe it? How good I look with the hat? No, there's a beautiful girl. I hope that her boyfriend doesn't punch me. There's Doc. There's all my friends at a table. I can't name that. Oh, there's. I'm not going to name a name. If you channel through my website on the bottom, okay, Dr. Savage's celebration, there's a beautiful woman. Then there's me with my good friend, Dr. Cunyon. God bless him. Then there's a couple of friends of mine. Then there's Doc K. Then there's a table of wonderful people, I won't mention because I don't want them bothered by the attorney general. Then we go to the next couple, which is an older lady and a younger man with a hat, a black hat and glasses. You know who these people are? His father, her husband, flew 200 missions in the F-105. 200 combat missions in the F-105. Willie, one of my heroes. I never met the man, but I have a picture of him in his flight suit on my bureau. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Right, I bought this toy today for $5, this 1962 Volkswagen bus, love and peace, painted a surfboard on the roof, yellow and white. I just looked it up during a break. They're getting $13,000 for these things now, these little pollution machines. What a pile of garbage. Those engines were horrendous. 13-window deluxe, $17,000. I cannot believe that people pay that much for a Volkswagen bus. $25,000 for a 1960 double cab commercial transporter? Oh, let's get back to the serious business of rockets in space and water guns on Earth. 1-800-449-8255. The book you want to talk about? Sacramento. Mike, go ahead, please, on KSTE. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. So I went into a Barnes & Noble yesterday and checked this out. Your book is at, like, foot level, and that liberal Rachel Maddow is at eye level.
Number one in a bookstore. Anyone who loves America should be, the book should be burned. Any book that loves America, loves traditional America, salutes the military and police, belongs, frankly, to be set afire in the new America. Oh. While the book that celebrates the hatred of America by a person with a micro brain on a micro channel, it certainly needs to be featured. That's why they call her Mad Cow. I'm sending you Trickle Down Tyranny right now. Peter in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. There's no way that America has any system that could have shot that missile down. I know this for a fact.
What profession are you in?
I'm in the insurance business, but it's only deduction because if someone in America would have shot that missile down, Eric Holder would be prosecuting them by now.
So you mean if someone in the military actually fired a weapon, let's say it was a laser weapon or an ABM laser-type weapon, that person would be court-martialed today for being anti-American?
Special prosecutor?
No, logically true. I'm sure of it because no one in the military dares fire a gun anymore for fear they'll be called up on a court-martial. That's why they have 100,000 people on medication in the military in order to make sure that they're all slaves to the system. What a world, what a world, what a world, what a world. Peter, I like your thinking. I like the way you think backwards, because the only way to figure out an upside-down world is to think upside down. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Make certain that your wife doesn't see it. Certainly do not show it to any of the in-laws in New York City, and be careful on the subway that it is in a plain brown wrapper. Do not ride the New York subway with Trickle Down Tyranny, because one of the goon squads from Florida is liable to see it and get a truncheon and rubber glove you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. So all week long, we've been hearing about the buffet rule. That is the campaign strategy of the geniuses running the Obama reelection campaign, that we don't pay enough taxes, listen to old Uncle Warren, buffet rule, blah, 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 blah. It turns out today the president paid a lower tax rate than his own secretary, 20%, 21%, and Biden, the water gun, paid 22%. This is amazing. Now, of course, you know that because you're a listener and a taxpayer. Do you actually think that the people who vote for Obama, which is the 50% of Americans who pay no taxes, plus federal employees, plus people who receive the VIG off the in other words, anyone who gets a VIG job from the taxpayer in the form of grants, contracts, and programs, plus those who pay no taxes, plus the illegal aliens, as many as possible, do you actually think they know the president paid 20%? Instead of the minimum that he's calling for in the buffet rule? Of course not. But we're not living in rational times. We're living in irrational times. So why eat your heart out? Why eat your heart out? The leftists want you to pay 110% of your income in tax. They want to enslave you. Look at that. Look, I don't want to go around and around. You know the story. If you work for a living, you don't vote for Obama. You work for a living, you vote for Romney. which gets me back to the opening of the show. I said I had a little interview with the newspaper. I told her why Obama's not a Democrat, but a far-left radical who's not even part of the Democrat Party, in my opinion. And the party elders know it. And then she brought up Romney. So I said, well, look, Romney is a moderate Republican. He's a social liberal. There's no question about that. He's never going to admit it, but he's a social liberal. You can see that in him. He's a very nice man. I met him. He's not tough enough for the job, but it's certainly better than what we have in the White House. And he's a businessman. So only the Democrats could see a businessman as somebody evil, unless they give them money. Then they're good, evil businessmen. Anyone who doesn't give money is an evil, evil businessman. But anyone who gives them money is an evil, good businessman. They're going to try and turn his years at Bain Capital into a deficit by saying he did this, he did that, he invested in this, invested in the Hitler diaries, and if they only knew, he personally probably put money into Farben and Zyklon B, that we have records to prove that although he wasn't born at the time, there was no question that Romney invested in IG Farben and was personally responsible for the trains going to him. And therefore, you have to understand that all of the... They're going to do that. You have no idea what Axelrod's capable of. So why pay attention to it? It's all horse feed. We're talking mainly today on the Savage Nation about the shock of North Korea launching a rocket and the president being seen with a water gun around Biden's pool and no reaction from anyone in the administration to the biggest foreign policy disaster since the failure of the Arab Spring, which is really the Arab winter. Horrible. One failure after another, and Romney's not exploiting it. Did Romney say a word today about the rocket? Nothing. Zero. Zero. He had a golden opportunity to say a word about the rocket, and what did he say? I don't know. What's he talking about? How good is the Kishka in Hungary? I don't know. What is he talking about here? Where is anything about Romney on Drudge? I don't know. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Romney warns... Obama will erode rights of gun owners. Ugh. We would have expected something about the rocket and that Hillary and Obama failed us. Unbelievable to me. Fear of nuclear device. Now my question is, did we shoot it down? That's what I want to know. In other words, did we use a secret weapon? How do I know? Will we ever know? We can talk amongst ourselves all we want. It could be. Maybe Japan had one of our advanced weapons and shot it down. Maybe our good friends in Australia, you know. Maybe the Barbie people, Barbie on a stick, maybe they did it. Maybe the people who drink Foster's Lager did it with our, you know, technology. Who knows who shot it down? Can't automatically assume it blew up in space. I mean, basically, they're using Iranian and Chinese technology. They're pretty good at this stuff. So did it fall out of on its own, or was it shot down? It's like a zap job from space. We don't know. Why am I the only one asking it? Why is Romney not asking it? Why is not saying anything about it? Instead, he's talking about gun rights. Why now? What about gun rights? Who told him to say that? 1-800-449-8255. Trickle-down tyranny stories are still welcome for another few days. The weekend's coming up. You got very important things to do this weekend. Baseball games or something. Is there a baseball game on? I know in San Francisco they're playing. The Giants playing the Midgets. I don't know who they're playing. I have no idea who's playing who. Hey, wait, New York. I see a guy in a striped suit with a stick in his hand there. Carota Sharp. A-Rod hits first and win. Ooh, the Yankees 5, Angels 0. That's important. Yeah, that's important. Look how desperate they are. Angelo Jolie and Brad Pitt officially engaged. These people are so desperate that they'll talk about an engagement. Can you believe that's news in the New York Post and Murdoch's newspaper? And then how gullible I am that I'm talking about these two nobodies. Who cares? Who cares that these actors gave each other a ring? Make my day. Most support deadly force in self-defense, even outside home, says a new poll. And most Americans have a favorable view of the National Rifle Association, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll. Now, Ipsos, as you know, is a fake poll. Ipsos is another foreign-owned organization. But even that is showing that there's a strong support for deadly force. What else is in the news that's not sports related? Or Obama's report, $789 in income, paid 20% of an effective tax rate. So I guess the buffet rule doesn't apply. 20%. Wow, I'd like to pay 20%. That would be great. I'd have a lot of extra money to buy guns and ammo, you know, bullet. You know what they think? U.S. considering immunity for key MF global witness. They still haven't gotten him in jail? Say, if you lost $1.2 billion, do you suppose that the Justice Department would have put you in jail already? Well, if you're a big donor to the Obama administration, like Corzine, deeply connected, deep ties. It's like socks. Remember socks? Caught with national secrets in his socks. Nothing happened to him. He danced right off that charge and went to work for China. What else? Obama's illegal immigrant uncle prepares to fight deportation process. Oh, God. Bloomberg vows to fight living wage bill in court. That's a good thing. But why is he fighting it? He's a liberal. Shouldn't he like the living wage bill? That would be terrible for business in New York, wouldn't it? That would, it, this is, look, the living wage bill would be terrible for restaurants in New York, so that's something Bloomberg should like. He's anti-business, isn't it? The proposed law requires that businesses accepting $1 million or more in city subsidies pay their workers at least $11.50 an hour or $10 with bennies. The current minimum wage here is $7.25 an hour. Bloomberg compared the mandate to communism. Bloomberg! He said the last time we really had a big managed economy was the USSR, and that didn't work out so well. You cannot stop the tides from coming in. Well, good for him. Good for him. I wonder what got into him. The man who's in favor of the Ground Zero mosque is suddenly against the living wage bill? This doesn't make sense. Bloomberg dropped a bombshell on his weekly radio show. He's on WOR in the morning where I am. I have to be careful. He's a fellow broadcaster. Imagine, fellow bro. Oh, yeah, we all get together collegially in the Friars. Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing, Bloom? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's pretty good cognac. Yeah, yeah. Oh, how you doing? Yeah. How's the missus doing? Oh, you don't have her. How are the horses out there? How are the girls? Yeah. Yeah, we have real, real great, tremendous, tremendous camaraderie, me and other radio hosts. I wish we did. I wish there was such a thing as a talkers club. No such thing. No one in talk business talks to anyone else in the talk business. In fact, they don't talk to anybody at all except people who say yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, Wallbanger. You genius. You big genius. That's not a lot of money, that minimum wage. $11.50 an hour, or $10 with Benny's current minimum wage. You know, people complain that it puts them out of business if you pay them a few dollars. I don't understand that. Who could live on $7 an hour? You know, that really, I mean, let's be clear. I've worked minimum wage as a kid. I never forgot how horrible it is. What if you're a man here with 17 children from somewhere else illegally? You can't live on $7 an hour under the table with welfare. It's impossible. And think about that. It's a struggle. If you have 12 children here illegally and all you're getting is rent subsidy, medical subsidy, housing subsidy, legal subsidy. Your wife's getting the same. Each child has an income because of it, and there's only 16 children in the house. How can you live on $7 an hour? How is that possible under the table? You can't. You have to raise it to a living wage. So therefore, you drive the restaurant owner out of business. And then everyone's happy because at least it's fair. You understand? It doesn't matter that there's any business left in the city. What matters is that there's a sense of fairness. That's the important thing. It's not the results. Liberals don't think about results. They just think about how fair something is. So raise the minimum wage, but they'll drive people out of business. It doesn't matter if you drive them out of business. They're all pigs anyway. If they don't have a government job, they're suspect. They're probably, there's something wrong. Anyone who doesn't have a government job to a liberal is suspect immediately. They might even be a patriot. They have to be reported to Eric Holder. And personally, I think that anyone who doesn't have a government job should have a special tattoo on their forehead, so that we can be distinguished from the government workers. And then we'll at least know who the Democrats are, those without tattoos. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation, home of trickle-down tyranny. Let's go to the callers in a moment on the program. We're all reeling with shock that it came out today that the president, who tells us we should all pay the buffet rule of tax, which I think is 30% minimum, he himself, though, pays 20.4%. This is amazing. Of course, you won't read about this. It's not allowed in the local newspapers. It would be illegal to be published in the any newspaper in America. Published that would probably be denied access. Certainly, Associated Press, the bootlickers at the AP wouldn't report that. They don't want you to know he pays 20% and the vice president pays 21%. They want you to think that they actually pay 110% of their income to show you what good Americans they are and how much more you should pay. I know many of you are calling about the rocket. What can you do about it? It's, of course, it's an impotent reaction. There is no reaction, neither by Romney nor by Obama. It's Obama. This is the biggest policy failure for Hillary Clinton and Obama since the blow-up of the Middle East, which was their biggest policy failure in history. What they did in the Middle East will take 100 years to figure out the damage they've done. But, oh, don't read that in the paper. No, he's a genius. No, but, no, the Egyptians haven't launched the pyramid at us yet. Therefore, it must be a genius at work somewhere. And Hillary, where is she? Jetting around. She's in charge of everything. But did they fire a rocket? They slapped her in the face. They told Obama, you know what? You can take your grain and shove it. And nothing, you don't read about it the next day, like a great policy failure. See, when I was a kid, the Daily News would run a headline like this. I told you, I grew up on a six newspaper house. It was the News, the Mirror, the American. News, the Mirror, the American. I forget. The News, and the Post. If he wanted to see what the communists said in those days, he read the New York Post. That was like the real ILGW. That was the trade unionists. The mean, angry, triangle shirtwaist fire people would read the Post. They'd fold it up a certain way under their arm on the subway with an anger to get the bosses. So I don't know what it was, like a certain anger with the paper, the way they walked in the neighborhood. The way they folded it under the arm showed they were mad at the bosses in the factory. So I would read the News, Mirror, Post, Journal American, whatever. But the Daily News, every day, I loved it as a kid. I would scream a headline today, Prez given black eye by Korea. That would have been the headline. That's what it would have been, the headline, screaming headline. See, you learn things with Victorian-style headlines. Prez given black eye by Korea. Okay. Hillary. Hillary out. Rocket or something. The editor would say, do something about the rocket and Hillary. Rocket fires Hillary out of orbit. Something along those lines, right? Read all about, because then the average guy would pick it. That's why they sold newspapers in those days. Because although it was an exaggeration, it sort of told the truth in a cartoonish way. But at least it was a caricature. So through the caricature, you could get some germ of truth. Today, because they're so controlled by the government that they allegedly, supposedly keep an eye on, you get no news unless you don't buy the paper. What is the point? There's nothing there. There's no there. That should have been the headline. Arab Spring blows up in Prez's face. Arab Spring destroys Hillary's ambition. Hillary's dreams blown destroyed by Arab Spring. That would have been the proper headline. But no, you don't know. Average guy doesn't know anything. They're just ball game, this, that. What do you want from? So the New York Post, not Post, on Angela Jolie and Brad Pitt engage. You hear this? This is news. These two oldsters are so desperate for attention that he gives her a ring 56 years later after adopting half of Africa. I don't understand a couple like this. I used to love him as an actor. Not anymore. I can't watch the guy. She did some job on him. You talk about. No, I have no respect for him after he married her. She beat him to death. The guy looks like a pocketbook carrier. It's like Meek. He's perfect for the Republican Party. He could run for the Senate in a certain district with his attitude now, with the wife in charge. I'm just having fun. It's one man's opinion. Leave me alone. Can't I think out loud? No one's forcing you to listen to me. If you don't like my opinions and my musings and my ramblings, then why are you listening? Why are the lights lit up? People can't get through the show. The book's selling like crazy. It's number two on the bestseller list, probably number one, but rigged by the system to make it look like number two. So the anti-American div comes out on top. Come on. You know how these things work. What else is in the news? I don't know what's in the hood is over. The hoodie thing is over for a while. I'm allowed to wear a hood again when I go. The picture of the president with the water gun, I can't get over. I cannot get over this. It's all over. I put it on the top of my website, not to ridicule the man. You know I think highly of him. You know I think that he's the greatest president in history. But at the time North Korea is launching a rocket, he's running around a pool in shorts with a water gun. If this doesn't tell you everything that you need to know as to why we are in danger, why we have lost our standing in the world, and why we must absolutely make certain that he's a one-term president. Nothing in the world could but this one picture.
Savage.
All right, Giants win home opener. Thank God that's over. Now the lunatics can go home with their jerseys and the bats. Giants win home opener. Running around, a grown man in a jersey. Can you imagine? I don't understand it. A child, yes. A grandchild, yes. A grown man? Matt Cain threw a one-hitter, allowing only a single by Pittsburgh pitcher James McDonough. You know that there are grown men who know the batting averages of other men? The pitching averages going back 10 years? I don't understand this. That's how North Korea could launch a rocket and the president could be seen with a water gun. And what do they know? What do they know? One-hitter. Oh, he got a one-hitter. Let me have a drink. Oh, I'm going to that bar tonight. I'm going to celebrate, man. Like, he personally won. The moron. Oh, we won tonight. Let's have another one, Bill. Here's a disturbing story in a local newspaper. My father should be alive. Cops ripped. Family says Berkeley police are partly to blame for the bludgeoning death of man who called an emergency line to no avail. So a lunatic goes into a private house in the Berkeley Hills, beats an old man to death with a flower pot, and now the son is blaming the police because the police didn't prevent it. This is the same city of Berkeley that had the police taken care of the Occupy communists who were causing mayhem in the streets at that time. They should be suing the Occupy movement. Take a look at the face of this. Look at the face of this poor guy. They want to sue the department. The two grown sons want to sue the police department for failing to respond to their father's call for help. Oh, they're so sad, always at blaming the police. Officers couldn't go there at that time. They did a great job. That is unbelievable to me. You don't know this case. It's unbelievable. The young man they won't show anymore. Now the police are the enemy. The suspect, Jordan DeWitt, was charged with murder but has been ruled incompetent to stand trial. At a hearing Friday, a judge ordered DeWittless, sent to Napa State Hospital for treatment. Well, there you go. Award of the state. And go right away and vote for the Democrats. DeWitt's family has said he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia 5 years ago. Oh, well, that explains why he beat the man up with a flower pot. Incidentally, there's a racial element to this, but you wouldn't know it by the newspaper. Man killed, white. Man with flower pot, not white. But there were no riots by any reverends at the time, so you haven't even heard about the story. There was no demand for no justice, no peas. No justice, no carrots. No justice, no zucchini. No justice, no cabbage. The guy called, but him and his wife. It's a very sad story. They were so liberal, by what I read, that they discussed whether to call the police or not when the guy was wandering around on their property because they didn't want to be seen as racist for calling the police. I swear, read it. Him and the wife said, we better not call the police. We're liable to be seen as bad people. So let him go. So the guy comes back and hits the guy in the head with a flower pot when he tells him to go away. Kills him. Very sad. One man is dead. The other man's in a nut house. So now they're blaming the police. You hear this? Unbelievable today. Unbelievable today. Astounding. Call a dispatcher. That's all. And then the dispatcher. And sue the dispatcher, too. Get a good shyster lawyer in Berkeley. Here's the man who got killed. Called the police the night he was killed and told the dispatcher there was a young man, hanging around my property who was acting strangely. Instead of calling the police, go and lock your door, get your gun, get your shotgun, call the police and tell them there's a man intruding on your property, and if they don't come right away, you're going to have to shoot him. So then the guy who's killed says, he's looking for someone named Zoe. He's pretty spacey. Then the guy goes on, tells the dispatcher, this is on the tape. He says that he lives here. He wants to come in, which is very strange. I'd like an officer up here right away. You hear? I'd like an officer right here away. It's not clear if Cooker meant to say, I'd like an officer up here right away, or if the transcript was an error. Oh, Berkeley probably not. The dispatcher responded, sure, and later added, okay, we'll try to get somebody out as soon as we can. So now the son is blaming the police because they didn't say the right thing. And now they're telling everyone in Berkeley they're in danger if they call police and assume that an officer will respond. These are the same Berkeley people who hate police, insult the police, support the occupiers. It's amazing to me. Now listen to this. Police officials have said that the victim, Peter Cooker's call, was classified as a suspicious circumstance and not an emergency. Why? Because the man who was calling sounded calm and that what he described did not amount to an immediate threat because the poor guy who got killed didn't want to sound like he was a racist in plain English. And he didn't want to, you know, sound like he was frightened of someone wandering around on his property. It was nuts. That's, it wasn't a real emergency call to the police. According to police, they didn't know what was going on. The guy didn't say, help, get someone here. He was talking to the guy out there. So they figured, all right, it's a nut. Since most people in Berkeley are like nuts, there's nothing unusual about a nut wandering around saying he's looking for Zoe. Unbelievable to me. This is astounding. Why didn't the man stay indoors until the cops got there? I wish the father were alive, okay? Let's start with that. He didn't deserve to get hit over there with a flower pot by a berserk man in Berkeley. Berserkly Berkeley. And he should be alive. But why didn't he lock the door, call the police, 911, and say, look, enough is enough. The guy is crazy. Because he didn't want to sound like he was something wrong. He didn't want to be judgmental. They don't want to be judgmental in Marin County in San Francisco. If you accuse anyone wandering on your property looking for Zoe as being nuts and dangerous, you're considered judgmental. Oh, let's not rush to judgment, honey. Let's make certain that he's really dangerous before we, you know, alert anybody. Because we don't want to be one of those reactionaries. That's how it works. But no, look, the rockets. Anyone, every time I look over there, rockets, rockets, rockets. No one calling about the book anymore? It's over? Oh, lots of book calls. Here's one sold out. Jerry in Victorville. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Yes, Michael.
Yes.
I went into the Barnes & Noble to buy another book, and I said, where's Trickle Down Tyranny? I don't see it. Are you there?
Yes, so what happened?
I went to get John Strassel's book, No, We Can't, and I said, where's Trickle Down Tyranny? Where's it at? He said, well, go around the corner here and I'll show you. And I said, well, my gosh, the book's almost sold out. You get more books out there. Enough is enough. And so I said, okay, we'll get some out. And I said, well, that's good. Now do that. Now, the only problem is I had gone down to Costco in Victorville, California. And Costco,
yes,
of course, had your book. And so,
yes,
naturally, I went in there since I'm going to Costco. And they had a nice display.
Good. That's beautiful. Well, I'm sending Jerry, you're a very loyal listener, you're a very strong soldier of the Savage Nation. It's exactly what this country needs, not only at this time to go buy my book and spread the word about the fact that Obama does have a dream of the socialist states of America, but you have to do the same thing come the election. By the way, I thought about this. People are saying, what does he really mean? What do you mean crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America? Is that hype? Let me run an idea by you, a fact actually, and tell me if you think that it's hype or reality when I warn you against Obama's vision of the socialist states of America. You have five states now who haven't tried to invoke immigration laws which will prevent illegals from running all over their state and abusing state services. Obama's attorney general says, no, you can't do that. We'll tell you what to do. You have no states' rights. You have many states wanting to put in place voter ID laws to make sure that only citizens vote and only registered voters vote, that there's no, as much as possible, rule out double, triple voting. Attorney General suing them, saying it's racist to insist upon voter ID laws. Tell me if that's not a socialist vision, where a few dictators in Washington completely annihilate states' rights, especially on an issue as fundamental as protecting their own borders and protecting the voting machine. Tell me if my vision is wrong. Am I wrong when I say crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America? Do you want the states to have any rights? Or do you want all the rights to flow only from Obama and Eric Holder? Is that what you want? All the rights flow only from two men? No checks and balances? No states' rights? You want me to get accurately serious here? I just did. That is why Trickle-Down Tyranny is now number two on the New York Times bestseller list. It is likely number one, but I was told by my agent that the NYT has a secret formula, which they have never disclosed as to how they decide which book is actually number one. And we all know what that means, so there's no point in belaboring it. All I care is that you understand how important the book is, okay? MichaelSavage.com. Keep looking it up. Keep going to it for more of my personal this, personal that. How do you feel about Obama paying 20.4% in federal income tax after telling you that you should follow the buffet rule? Apparently, he follows the buffet rule, which means he picks and chooses which things he wants to follow that he tells you to follow. See, that's the real buffet rule, picking from the buffet. I've been talking about the buffet rule so much, I'm dreaming about a buffet in the morning now. This morning I dreamed about eggs and ham and sausage and coffee. All the stuff I can't eat. I don't want to. I eat like pablum. Who eats like that anymore? What heroes? They don't know anything about arteries? Who still eats ham and eggs? Even firemen stopped 20 years ago. They're all lean and fit. You know, they all work out. They got great pensions. They don't do anything. There's no fires. I don't blame them. Why not? And then about a month before you would retire, you slip a disc. Oh, it's work-related. Okay, 100%, 110% disability. Next. What happened? Oh, I stubbed my toe on the fire truck. Oh, 120% disability. Next case. Work-related injury. I got tunnel carpal syndrome from holding the hose in my hand. Next case, 100% disability, the shyster. What's with your problem? My eyes hurt me. I can't see out of my 110% disability. People don't know what's going on. The pensions are bankrupting us. Where do you think this is ending? How does this end? Tell me how this ends with such pensions like this, these city pensions. What city can afford them? I heard that in the city of San Rafael, California, a little tiny town where, you know, they have unfunded pensions of over $1 billion. Do you hear this? If they taxed every property for the full value of the property, they couldn't pay the pensions. In San Rafael, California, the land of the Democrat machine, Barbara Boxer's backyard. So tell me how this ends. Tell me how it ends. Tell me who's the politician who comes along and runs on a campaign of, although we appreciate the work that city workers have done and firemen and police, we can't afford the pensions, so we're going to have to deal with this. Who's going to be the politician to do that? I don't know. It's not going to be me. I don't run for office. But I'm thinking about it now. Now I think I'm going back on my word. I'm just starting to get a glimmer of maybe. But it's another career. I could never do it. I don't have the patience for it. To say the same thing every day is worse than talk radio. Think about that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. America is reeling today from the knowledge that the president paid a lower tax rate than his own secretary, 20.4%, while telling you to pay according to the buffet rule. It's up on the Drudge Report. Biden, 22%. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, because there's no press anymore. All you got is the internet and a little talk radio. So we're all being, you know, we're all being threatened. Under the surface, those of us who are still reporting on the truth. I mean, I tell you, shovel-ready project in San Francisco to move one shrub cost $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of the stimulus project roadway. There used to be a joke, all roads lead to Rome. In this case, all roads still lead to Rome. The bush of Franciscan Manzanita cost $205,000 to transplant. You could buy it in a nursery for as little as $15.98. Now explain to me, well, I'll explain to you what they mean by a shovel-ready project. This is a shovel-ready project. It costs $205,000 to transplant one shrub in a new roadway project. Shovel-ready means they shovel it into their kitty. They shovel it into the bank account. You understand how that works? That's what they mean by shovel-ready. What do you think they meant by it? They meant you're going to get the job. What a deal. Unbelievable to me. $15 in a nursery, $205,000 to move it. What else is in the, what is this now? I don't get it. What else is on the website? Romney warns Obama coming for guns. Oh, please. GSA official to take the fifth? Another one? It's like dealing with the mob. I have never seen anything like this. Yeah, I refuse to answer on the grounds that I might incriminate myself. Yeah. Yeah, counsel. I refuse to testify on the grounds that might intend. You never saw this since the Valachi papers. The GSA official tasked with organizing a now infamous $800,000 Las Vegas conference plans to invoke his Fifth Amendment rights ahead of a scheduled Monday grilling on the Hill. How? How is this possible? Why would this administration advise a gonif like this to take the Fifth? This looks good. Astounding to me. Ganef's old German for crook, Mr. Neely. Served a subpoena to require Jeff Neely to appear before the committee, according to Democrat committee documents, requiring Mr. Neely to travel. Blah, blah. How do you feel about Obama minions, many of the minions in the Obama circle taking the fifth? You feel great about it. You feel great. You feel terrific. You feel as good as you do about him with a water gun when the kimchi rocket, the long kimchi rocket was launched. Long kimchi rocket. I have a Korean friend. Don't just shut up already. Don't tell me what I'm... Love the South Koreans. I don't like communism. Pardon me. I don't like despots. Bothers me that he starves his people to death. Pardon me for having that attitude. Maybe you can report me to the thought police. New York, WOR. Alvin, welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's an honor speaking with you.
Okay, now, I don't want to be rude, but you, stop. I don't want to be rude, but you never have to say it's an honor. I am not Hannity. Hannity needs you to say it's an honor because he went to high school. He needs someone to worship him. I don't. But go ahead, please.
A while ago, and I also believe we should do something about Iran. You know,
what should we do about Iran?
Cut
off supplies of hummus? I mean, what? Cut off the lamb, the Persian lamb? What can we do to Iran?
Well, they like you said, they threatened to, you know.
All right, whatever. I'm sending you a free book. That's all you wanted. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to say anything in cogent. There's no need for any cogent discussion on talk radio. Just call and get on. Iran. But look at this. It's Friday already. Wow. Got through another week. Obama this, Obama that. But don't criticize the president. Just because he pays 20% and tells you to pay 30 does not mean he's a hypocrite. Really, that's absurd. He's a nice man. He's got a nice family. There's no reason to feel that way. And if you do, you're probably mean-spirited and possibly a racist. Truthfully, the Black Panther should come knocking on your door if you say anything about the 20%. It means you're a liar. You read Fox News. Now, even though you could find his tax forms now on virtually government websites, even the AP is publishing the president's tax return, it's absolutely a conspiracy to destroy a decent man, especially because of his race. There's no question about it. It was rigged up. It was rigged up. He didn't pay 20.4%. They left out a one in front of it. You ask Al Sharpton, he'll say that the president should have paid 120.4%. But the evil white racists took the one off it. That's why the Drudge Report's reporting it wrongly. It's not 20%. It's white racism. It was 121%. Don't be stupid. The president pays more than he makes to show you that he believes in the Buffett rule. GSA official to take the fifth. Pardon me, I'm getting like wacky already from all of this. How do they get away with such hypocrisy and lies? You have to ask yourself, how? Answer, Associated Press that doesn't exist anymore. How? ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News together add up to PROPAGANDA. That wasn't bad. It's an old joke from an old Godard movie. But you have to have known Godard in the movies. He's long dead. No one knows references anymore that are in my head. My references are so antiquated in some regard. Does anyone know what I'm joking about? Right? It's very funny. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox equals PROPANGADA. Not bad. Not bad for a poor talk show host with a PhD and 2 master's degrees and 27 books to his credit. Not bad. I'm trying the best I can to live up to the status of those who were invited into the White House who will speak 50 words of English and sing dirty songs in the Rose Garden. That's all. I'm trying. I'm trying to devolve into a normal Obama voter, into somebody who curses and fumes and smokes a joint in the Rose Garden. That's what you're talking about. Distinction. Distinction.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I wonder what you make of the Buffett rule. Do you think it's going to help America's middle class?
The Buffett rule is a minimum. I hope the Democrats don't get trapped into making it seem like that's the maximum that the rich should be paying. No, it's a minimum with regard to the very, very wealthy ought to be paying at a 30% tax rate. If we went back to before the 1981 tax cut of Ronald Reagan, for 30 years, the richest people in this country paid a minimum of 70%, much higher than anything that anybody's talking about right now. That's exactly why I said it has to be described as a minimum. I think it actually it doesn't go nearly far enough.
You have to hear some of this audio, including so-called Labor Secretary Hilda Solis talking about tax fairness. Really? The president paid 20% of his income. The vice president paid a 23% rate. Is that fair?
And the president is fighting right there with you and I. And it's about fairness. It's about fairness in the workplace. It's about fairness in education, and it's about fairness in terms of what services are provided by government. And if we can't have a say-so in that, then this isn't the dream that all of us have aspired to be a part of. Because if people aren't paying their taxes, those that can afford it, the billionaires, the millionaires, even the folks, as you heard yesterday, that were in the White House, that agreed to pay more, they want to pay more because they know it's their obligation. Because that's what we stand by, those principles. That's very, very important.
Here's former Ambassador John Bolton discussing the North Korean rocket launch.
The launch broke up perhaps 90 seconds to 2 minutes into its trajectory. No doubt about it. I think we can be quite happy, frankly, that it didn't reach orbit because it means that they've still got a lot of obstacles to overcome. The main feeder is China, and you know that's where the problem comes in. They supply 90% of North Korea's energy. They supply huge amounts of food and other humanitarian assistance. China says they don't want North Korea to have a deliverable nuclear weapon, but they don't do anything about it. I think the only long-range solution to the North Korean problem is to reunify the Korean Peninsula, and for that, you need to work on China. Neither the Bush nor the Obama administration really did that. It's going to be a long slog, no question, but better to begin now.
Finally, you have to hear to this double. You have to hear this double talk. VP Biden talking about Hillary Rosen's nasty anti-woman comments about Ann Romney.
My response is that's an outrageous assertion. Look, I have fought my whole career. I'm no hero. I don't want to make it like whether it's the Violence Against Women Act or equal pay, my entire career as a senator and as a vice president is to get to one point where my daughter is able to make whatever choice she wants and no one question it. If my daughter wants to be able to say, I'm staying home and raising my kids, no one should question that. When my wife was killed and I was raising two young boys myself, and then Jill and I got married, we've been married now for 35 years. The boys were young. She's a professional. She has her doctorate. She has two masters. She's a teacher. She decided, not me. Mm-hmm. She said, Joe, I'm going to stay home to learn school. That's her decision. And that generation, starting with my wife, is able to make those decisions.
Here are some of the questions we've been asking today in the Savage Nation. The Obama administration showed its impotence in response to the North Korea rocket launch. As I point out in Trickle Down Tyranny, we have an absolutely socialist, passive president. But what should the right response be? Do you think the Obama administration will do anything in response? I doubt it. In San Francisco, the Obama economic stimulus funded over $200,000. It cost $200,000 to translocate a single bush that stood in the way of a highway renovation project. Who got the $205,000? Well, I'll tell you a little later on. The EPA under Obama fined the school bus contractor nearly $500,000 for excessive idling. Really? Have you given a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny to any of your liberal friends yet? It's a good weekend to do it. Now let's see what's in the news and what's on MichaelSavage.com. Obama does not qualify for the buffet rule. Buffet says people should pay at least 35% of their income, while he pays 15%. It turns out Obama paid 20%, and Vice President Biden paid 23%. So Obama doesn't qualify for the same thing you'd like us to qualify for? Okay, also on MichaelSavage.com for your listening pleasure. Obama plays with water gun as North Korea fires missile. I didn't make it up. VP Biden tweeted the picture of the president running around a swimming pool with a big water gun. I think this gives new meaning to the statement of walk softly and carry a big water gun. Have you invaded bookstores and demanded upfront placement of trickle-down tyranny? The one book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights? I need you to do so this weekend. North Korea launch draws anger as failure wounds pride. The EEOC is banning any employer from checking on an employee's criminal and credit background. That's right. You're now going to be forced to hire a criminal. 56% of Americans say Obama tried to intimidate the court on health care with his threats 2 weeks ago. A free Quran project sparks an outcry in Germany. You have to see this article. $205,000 to transfer one shrub from the path of a San Francisco road project. All roads lead from Rome. In England, merry old England? No, not anymore. University considers alcohol sales ban because of Muslims. Well, they'll ban alcohol. Do they ban vests? They can get vests over there. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Let's go to the bottom. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. Bottom left. Police chief, weeks from retirement, killed in a drug bust in New Hampshire. Five survivors of Doolittle Raiders are called daring sortie. Beautiful pictures. Great men. Former Democrat governor pleads guilty to laundering funds. Huh, just laundering funds? That's nothing for Democrat. Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. Washington Times says Savage unleashes more fury in trickle-down tyranny. Michael Savage says it's do or die for America. Savage says I wish Romney would show some spine. Larry Anderson says trickle-down tyranny opens new territory. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
The economy is a big issue and concern for folks. I mean, the unemployment, trying to make ends meet, gas prices, food prices. Some of our viewers are complaining that they just don't, you know, they get frustrated, even angered, when they see the first family jetting around, different vacations and so forth. Sometimes maybe they think under color of state business, and that you're out of touch, that you don't really know what they're experiencing right now.
Well, I don't know how many viewers you're talking about that say that.
We do hear from some.
Well, I hear from all kinds of viewers about everything.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I think if you look at my track record, I'm raising a family here. When we travel, we got to travel through Secret Service and Air Force One. That's not my choice. I think most folks understand how hard I work and how hard this administration is working on behalf of the American people.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat, that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
I just remind conservative commentators that for years what we've heard is the biggest problem on the bench was judicial activism or a lack of judicial restraint, that an unelected group of people would somehow overturn
an unintellected
a duly constituted and passed law. There's a good example.
So we're off and running at the Savage Nation. Obama intimidated the Supreme Court, implying that if they overturn Castro Care, he will do something to overturn their overturn. Now, the fact of the matter is the Supreme Court has been overturning laws for quite a while. Since 1803, as a matter of fact, the Supreme Court has asserted the power to strike down laws they interpret as unconstitutional. Well, the war is on now because Obama's laid down the gauntlet. A federal appeals court called the president's bluff and ordered the so-called Justice Department to answer whether the Obama administration believes that the courts have the right to strike down a federal law, according to a lawyer who was in the courtroom. It's an amazing story. You've got to see what's going on, because nobody can believe that this man dared say what he said. It's interesting to me that today I turn on the television and the cable channels are covered with tornadoes. I change from one to the other. Tornado, tornado, tornado. Snow job, snow job, snow job. I learned that the Associated Press is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration. We have a soundbite of the chairman of the Associated Press licking the boots of Obama. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented since the ex-Soviet Union. We have another soundbite of Obama standing next to Mexico President Calderon. Well, you got to hear the Calderon soundbite, where he implies that medical care in Mexico is superior. Listen to clip 8. Listen to this.
Of the 12 million Mexicans, 106 million will have efficient, effective, universal health care coverage. So I would say that that I would hope that one of the greatest economies in the world, such as the United States, could follow our example in achieving this, because it was a great thing.
How many of you out there would like to see Mexican health care to America and follow the example of Mexico? See, I would say that if the Mexico health care system is so good, that our Congress should use Mexican doctors in Mexico as opposed to the American doctors at Bethesda, Maryland. I would think that since we need to follow the example now of Mexico, according to Calderon, a good friend of Obama, that we should start with Schumer going to Mexico the next time he has an ulcer or some kind of pain in his gut. Go down to Mexico City and get the kind of health care that you're telling us we should accept here. So I turn on the TV and there's nothing there. He calls the Supreme Court a group of unelected people. The Supreme Court has a lot to fear, by the way, I think. This is very ominous. What did you see when you went to the bookstore to buy Trickle Down Tyranny? Have you been there yet? How was my book displayed? Was it up front or hidden in the back next to books of how to remove mustaches from females? How were you treated by the clerk who helped you with the book? Was the clerk helpful, or were they surly with green hair and a tongue piercing and Obama bumper sticker on their forehead? Who else did you see buying Trickle Down Tyranny? Did you buy the book for yourself? Were you buying it for yourself as a gift for someone? And finally, this is a real big question for me. Were you able to buy the book, or was it sold out? If you bought it, was it sold out or hidden? It's a very important question because I have no other shows other than mine, Laura Ingraham, and a few other shows of friendly types. The mainstream media, which includes all of Fox News, make no mistake about it, O'Reilly is equivalent to Piers Morgan. Hannity is the equivalent of Wolf Blitzer. They pretend to be on the other side, but they're bookends. Don't you understand yet what's going on? They're bookends of the established press. Well, okay, that's one man's opinion. Let's go to Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I picked up your book at Barnes & Noble in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
And I was hoping to see it in the big stand right when you walk in, and I looked around and I couldn't find it. And I went to the new releases table, still had a hard time finding it. It was kind of tucked away in a corner by Mark.
All right, that's a violation of publishing policy. It's a violation of Barnes & Noble's own internal policies. It's a violation of the agreement with the publisher, HarperCollins. And so that clerk or that manager should be fired. I'm going to make certain that we report this to my publisher and that manager gets fired for hiding the book. And by the way, anyone else who went into a B&N or any other major store and the book was buried, that manager is going to hear from the owner of the chain or the CEO of the chain, because upfront placement was guaranteed. You hear me? It's that simple. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. As usual, there's a very important article. My good friend Art Moore at WorldNet Daily wrote it. It says, Michael Savage says, do or die for America. It's a very important article, and it's a very important placement of an article, because it's not just hype. Shall I read you a piece of it? New York Times bestselling author Michael Savage's 27th book, which he considers his most seminal, is full of documented reasons why America should not reelect Barack Obama. It's a do-or-die situation, Savage said. You can see the trajectory of Obama's regime thus far. Imagine your worst fears, and you're going to have some or all of it if this man is reelected. Savage's Trickle-Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Savage explains why he wrote the book in its opening pages. The American people have been kept in the dark about what I'm going to reveal to you in this book. They've been fed an endless stream of lies. He begins with advice to the next president, asserting that the nation needs someone who is the exact opposite of Barack Obama. He recognizes Mitt Romney doesn't fit that bill, but he will vote for him anyway if the former governor becomes the Republican nominee because the alternative is unacceptable. He notes that in swing states, women are moving in Obama's direction, giving him the lead with women. Savage said women are flocking toward Obama because they look at the Republican field and see a nightmare. Romney says nothing. Gingrich is physically repulsive, so women are saying, you know, I'll stick with him. It's all style anyway. Savage said it's still unclear who Romney is. Romney has no traction with the American people because there's no there. Where is he? Who is he? The Etch-a-Sketch wasn't a bad metaphor. Who is the man? Savage fears a repeat of Senator John McCain's failed 08 presidential campaign. Romney is already following the McCain playbook, which is that Obama is a good man. He just doesn't really quite get it, or he isn't up to the job. He said if Romney wins the nomination, he would vote for him strictly on the issue of national security and taxation. But as far as the essence of what I really believe in, the pride of a nation, Romney's not there, said Savage. Savage had dinner with Romney in 2010 and found him a likable person, but Romney will not go on the Savage Nation radio show. Savage thinks Romney simply doesn't understand America. I believe he's part of the establishment, and the establishment has contempt for the average person. They don't even understand who they are. They sneer at them, they look down upon them, and they follow their advisor's suggestions without even understanding what they're doing. Can anyone say that they know what the Republicans stand for other than defeating the Democrats?
Savage.
Last night, North Korea launched a long-range missile, only to watch it blow up minutes after it was launched. What this means for our national security is that we have none. It means the president was busy with a water gun. He was seen shooting a water gun at the time North Korea shot a rocket into the air. With her opinion is K.T. McFarlane, who held national security posts in three different Republic administrations. K.T., welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be back on the Savage Nation.
Well, you know my opinion of this rocket launch. It can be seen in trickle-down tyranny. What's your opinion?
Well, there are a couple of things. At once, we have a big sigh of relief. Oh, the North Koreans weren't able to even get the thing off the launch pad, more or less. But look at it in another angle. North Korea is a country which is going through a succession issue. They've got the new leader. He's in his late 20s. He's got to show how tough he is. He's got to show all those hardened generals who used to be around his father that he's got what it takes to be a leader. So my concern is that now, in light of this test that's failed, they'll probably have another test that may fail as well. But eventually, they will get this capability. They'll have the capability of a long-range missile. Now, in the next couple of weeks, they're probably going to test a nuclear device. And if that doesn't work, they'll test it again. Their goal is to get long-range nuclear weapons that are capable of reaching the United States. Why? Not necessarily to use them against the United States, but in many respects to sell them. You know, when North Korea has these missile tests or the nuclear tests, it's like a Paris air show. They're trying to show the world, particularly countries like Iran, that they have stuff that they can sell. What is it? Military capabilities, but particularly nuclear capabilities. My concern in the immediate term, though, is that if history is any guide, a test of a nuclear warhead or some kind of an aggressive military action that doesn't go well, the North Koreans tend to double down. So there may be another kind of aggressive military action against South Korea in the offing. I think there will be another nuclear test in the near future. And if something like that happens, the opportunity and the chance of miscalculation remains very high. When the North has done these kind of aggressive actions in the past against North Korea, against South Korea, the South Koreans have really turned the other cheek. They won't do that now. Politically, the Korean leadership is not going to be able to turn the other cheek. So my concern is that the North Korean leaders, to try to save face for what is a huge embarrassment to them, will try something aggressive against the South, and the South won't back down. And remember, we've got 40,000 troops on that North-South Korean border.
Even though the rocket blew up, obviously this is something we should really be worried about, isn't it?
Yeah, we should be worried about it for a number of reasons. One, if North Korea gets the ability to have a long-range missile, and secondly, if they get, in addition, the ability to have nuclear weapons capable of going on that long-range missile, they would join Russia and China as the third country in the world that can reach the United States with nuclear weapons, for which we have no defense. We're concerned, secondly, that the North Koreans, having flubbed this and being terribly embarrassed by it on the 100th anniversary of the birth of their of the founding of the Korean state, North Korean state, that they're now going to do something to sort of show and make up for that. They're going to try to do something to show how tough they are to save face. But then I think there's a whole nother series of issues with regard to North Korea, and that's what I call the cascade of credibility. Does North Korea really believe the Obama administration or anybody is going to stop them? And if nobody stops them, guess who's watching? It's the Iranians. They're saying, well, if nobody's stopping North Korea from getting a nuclear weapons capability, nobody's going to stop us either. Then we can go ahead with our nuclear weapons program. We can go ahead. We don't have to agree to any kind of a reduction in our nuclear weapons program. And I think that the Iran, a nuclear Iran with capability of reaching Europe or the United States with long-range weapons is far more dangerous because they've already said they would use those nuclear weapons against Israel, against the United States. They want the nuclear capability and the leverage it gets them in their region to control everything from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean. And if they're able to control that region, they control the world's oil choke points. They control the world's oil. They control the world economy. So I think that the secondary danger of North Korea really is Iran.
Will this have any impact on the race for the White House? I believe it will.
It's hard to tell. People say nobody cares about foreign policy issues. They only care about domestic issues. And I think that's very true. People are going to vote not on the basis of, you know, what the unemployment figures look like when they see them on the evening news. They're going to vote on the basis of whether they have a job, their spouse has a job, their kids have a job. That's their economic universe. But I do think that what will be different by November is the foreign policy issues. You know, unemployment, the economy, it might get a little better, it might get a little worse, but it's going to be more or less in the same ballpark. We already know it's bad. What might change, though, is some kind of a crisis in the Middle East. You know, Jimmy Carter, when he was running for re-election, he looked pretty good at this point in his re-election campaign. But what happened was the Iranians took American diplomats hostage, and Carter was unable to rescue them. He looked completely impotent. So what happens if there's a crisis with North Korea? What happens if there's a crisis in the Persian Gulf and President Obama looks to be impotent and at the same time gasoline prices go through the roof because of what looks like his inability to control events? Then I think it becomes a major political issue on the election. And guess who's most concerned with gasoline prices? Women. And we've all seen that there's now a war on women.
What will Obama do in response, if anything? Ship kimchi to North Korea?
Okay, with North Korea, stop having these strong verbal responses, to quote the White House press secretary. It's time for a little bit more than a verbal response. We can do three things. Immediately, we should stop the shipments of food aid. You know, the North Koreans came to us several months ago and said, if you give us food, we're going to slow down our nuclear program. Well, they've cheated on that. They've clearly not carried out their part of the deal. Why should we honor our part of the deal? So cut off the food aid that deliveries that are scheduled to go to North Korea. Secondly, reimpose the banking sanctions that President Bush had on North Korea and lifted in 2007 when the North Koreans promised, just like they did this time, they promised, lift those banking sanctions and we'll slow down our nuclear program. Reimpose those sanctions. I talked to a UN diplomat who said that when the sanctions were on North Korea, it was so complicated and difficult for North Korea that UN diplomats, had to go to Pyongyang with suitcases full of cash to pay their own people. So impose those sanctions. Get rid of North Korean access to the world banking community. And then the third thing is, if North Korea manages to have a missile that actually gets off the launch pad and looks like it's becoming a successful missile test, shoot it out of the air. Why? Because it's against, their testing is against a number of UN resolutions. We would have every right to shoot it down. The North Koreans can go ahead and do what they want, but if we shoot it down, particularly with the aid of South Korea and the Japanese, we make a point, not just to the North Koreans, but to the Iranians who are watching. Because if we don't stop North Korea, Iran figures it's a green light for their nuclear weapons program.
KT, what this says about the Obama administration's foreign policy. It's a failure and they have none.
Talk, talk, talk. They think they're going to solve everything with diplomacy. And what's happened in the 3 years of the Obama presidency is just the opposite. Remember the reset they were going to have with Russia? We were going to do good deeds together. So President Obama stopped and canceled the missile shield scheduled for Poland and the Czech Republic as a goodwill gesture to the Russians, who were then going to help us over the Iranian nuclear program. Well, that failed. President Obama was going to have a reset of diplomacy with Iran. He said the reason we had problems with Iran was that cowboy Bush. And so Obama was going to extend the hand of friendship, and Iran was going to go to the negotiating table and halt their nuclear weapons program. We've seen now that that's been a colossal failure. Time and time again, you don't, you know, I've learned in my lifetime of dealing with these issues when I was in the Nixon administration, Ford administration, and Reagan administration, that you don't negotiate without leverage, because that isn't negotiating, that's begging. And President Obama needs to use the leverage that the United States has and then start talking. It's much easier to get an agreement with someone when you've got your hand around their neck.
Do you think Iran, China, or any other country was helping North Korea with this rocket launch, or were they really on their own?
We know there's a relationship between the Iranians and the North Koreans on nuclear weapons development. The Iranians are reported to have had agents and engineers on the ground in North Korea for the last several missile tests, as well as for the nuclear weapons tests. We know that the North Koreans sold a reactor to Syria, and that was the Israelis destroyed it several years ago. We know that Iran and North Korea have a relationship on missiles. The North Koreans test a missile. It's called the Taipodong missile. They then sell it to the Iranians, who erase the name Taipodong on the side, stamp their name on the side, the Shahab missile. But they're, in effect, the same weapon systems. So the concern about North Korea, I'm less concerned that the North Koreans wake up tomorrow morning and decide to nuke San Francisco. I'm much more concerned that they sell those weapons or cooperate or give those weapons to the Iranians, who then will use them, who then are the world's greatest sponsor of terror, and that you would see that nuclear capability proliferate throughout the Middle East.
Israel has no role in this, do they, or are they just trying to threaten the world?
Iran is watching North Korea, but Israel is watching Iran. Why? Because if the Israelis conclude that President Obama, when he says, "I've got your back, I'll stop Iran's nuclear program," then the Israelis have an incentive to take military action unilaterally.
KT McFarland, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Oh, thanks, Michael. It's been great to be on The Savage Nation. I'll be on Fox News Channel Sunday at 4:30 Eastern to talk about these and more issues.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
What do you fear Obama will do if he's reelected? I go through this, what I fear he will do if he's reelected. Are you ready? Think hard about what a second Obama term might look like, when Obama would have the opportunity to help fulfill the left's dreams. What would it be? Well, in the article, it's entirely possible, Savage said, that Obama would try to eliminate the Second Amendment and seize citizens' privately owned guns. Is that true or false? It's a given, he said, that he's going to wipe out the Defense of Marriage Act. And it's a given that he will grant amnesty to illegal aliens, which he's done already through Janet Napolitano, who is breaking the law, frankly. She is breaking the law. And if we had a Republican Party, she would be indicted for what she's doing. But we don't have an opposition party. We have Ann Romney going on little tiny shows making believe that it matters. But now let's take the rest of the shopping list that you fear. How about monitoring the Internet? He does it already. How about monitoring your emails through a supercomputer? Obama does it already, under the guise of anti-terrorism. Savage said people are living with their heads over their shoulders, worried that what they write in emails or what they say in public could be misconstrued and result in a knock at the door in the middle of the night. So what are we living in now, Savage asked, a free society or a crypto dictatorship? Savage said he never imagined someone like Obama coming along, but he noted that the Founding Fathers did. The separation of powers built into the Constitution was designed to protect the nation from a dictatorship. Savage pointed to Obama's broad use of executive orders to bypass Congress as a direct assault on the founder's separation doctrine, and I go into that. I don't want to quote my own article. I know many of you agree with me, and the fact of the matter is the country has drifted so far to the left right now with the burgeoning welfare state that many of you think it's too late to do anything about it. Many of you fear that the Republicans have the guts to not only beat B.O., but to overturn what B.O. has done to this country during his reign of terror. Did you hear? This is a big, big story here. Borders, language, culture, and a strong dollar, someone said, should be my motto. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm asking you a question. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Now, many of the leftists are being paid by the Obama administration to go on to this article and smear me. Did you hear? Did you hear this? So they say that I'm being clever here and selling a book, and I'm using misinformation. I will remind you that there are 35 pages of references. Do you think I'm exaggerating when I say these things about the good President Obama? The most astonishing soundbite that I heard is not so much him threatening the Supreme Court, although that unto itself was a shocker, to call them a group of unelected people. I've never heard a president say that in my lifetime. I know this occurred in the past. I know that Jackson said to the Supreme Court, now that you have found in force, meaning Jackson said, I own the army, you have nothing. And so Jackson stood up to the Supreme Court in his time and was a fascist in his own way. But since that time, there's never been a president who did this. Or has there been? Well, in fact, there has. Obama's hero, one of his heroes, is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Some would argue he was our first socialist dictator. Did you know that Roosevelt tried to stack the Supreme Court with additional justices in order to skew the results? You didn't know that. Did you know that during the terror of the Roosevelt regime, there was a case, a classic case, which I pointed out in my last book, of the Schechter brothers? I have to keep pointing it out because if you don't know your history, okay, let's repeat it. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Okay, let's start with that one. That's not my statement. That's Santayana, and he wasn't a Latin musician. Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote, "Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it." Well, our history is quite clear. FDR tried to impose some of his controls on everyone in America. And he said to some little butchers in Brooklyn, kosher butchers, "You can't sell a certain type of chicken in a certain amount." They said, "But I have to do that in order to remain a kosher butcher." He said, "We're putting you in jail." He actually imprisoned three of these boys, three kosher butchers. When they got out of prison, they got a big lawyer. The big lawyer challenged the president. The president's law was overturned by the United States Supreme Court. The Schechter brother case is a precedent for overturning Obamacare. It has been done before. It's unprecedented for a president to threaten Supreme Court justices. And if we had a free press, this would be the headline. But we don't have a free press. We don't, make no mistake about it. We have an own press, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration. It would be shameful if these individuals had any shame. Now, how do I prove that the press is wholly owned by the Obama administration? Is it just hype? Well, I'll let you decide for yourself. I want you to listen to the stooge, who's the chairman of the Associated Press, Dean Singleton, in clip 9. You have to hear this to believe it.
President Obama made history as the first minority to be elected president. Even many who opposed his election felt proud of our country as he took the oath of office. As president, he inherited the headwinds of the worst economic recession since the Great Depression.
Who
he pushed through Congress the biggest economic recovery plan in history.
Who wrote this for you stooge, you?
Of two of the big three auto manufacturers.
You should be ashamed of yourself, you rat, you.
He pursued domestic and foreign policy agendas that were controversial to many, highlighted by his signature into law of the most comprehensive health care legislation in history. And the budget plans proposed by the president...
Okay, you're now listening to a PR agent for Obama who happens to be the chairman of the Associated Press. This occurred, in my knowledge, this occurred during the ex-Soviet Union's period when there was a state-owned newspaper called Pravda and Izvestia. Dean Singleton is a Stalinist. Unfortunately, he controls the Associated Press. He is working for the Obama administration. It's shocking. It's sickening to listen to this. I mean, I don't understand how anybody can want to live in a country where there's no free press. And then, to add insult to injury, he has the president of Mexico at his side, where he tells us through a translator that we should follow the example of Mexico with the health care. You got to hear clip 8 again. This is not to be believed. Listen.
Of the 12 million Mexicans, 106 million will have efficient, effective, universal health care coverage. So I would say that that I would hope that one of the greatest economies in the world, such as the United States, could follow our example in achieving this, because it was a great thing.
Could you believe that anybody in the history of this world would listen to this man and take him seriously? We should copy the Mexican universal health care system. They have about the worst medical care in the world. In fact, it's so bad that millions of illegals pour over the border to get free medical care in America.